हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् Reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Opulence of the Absolute, Texts 4 and 5. 4 and बुद्धिः ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो अभावः भयं च अभयम् एव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपः दानं यशः अयशः भवन्ति भावाः भूतानां मत्तः एव पृथक् विधाः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः समः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विधाः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विदाः मत्त एव पृथक् विधाः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमाशमः अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः दानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां एव पृथग्विधाः मातुजिस् बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः दानं यशो यशः ति भावभूतानां एव पृथग्विधाः मातुजिस् बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विधाः बुद्धिः इंटेलिजेंस ज्ञानम नॉलेज असम्मोहः फ्रीडम फ्रॉम डाउट क्षमा फॉरगिवनेस सत्यम ट्रूथफुलनेस दमः कंट्रोल ऑफ द सेंसेस शमः control of the mind, sukham, happiness, dukkham, distress, bhavaha, birth, abhavaha, death, bhayam, fear, cha, also, abhayam, fearlessness, eva, also, cha, and ahimsa, non-violence, samata, equilibrium, tushtihi, satisfaction, tapaha, penance, danam, charity, yashaha, fame, ayashaha, infamy, bhavanti, come about, bhavaha, natures, bhutanam, of living entities, mattaha, from me, eva, certainly, prithak vidhaha, variously arranged. Translation also by Srila Prabhupada. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundi Natarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamame Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So this verse has a very long purport. So we're going to spread it out over 2 days, this lecture, this verse, these two verses, 4 and 5. So we'll see as we go along. Before we read today's portion of the purport, we'll just discuss a little briefly about the background to these verses. As we have been hearing in the previous verses, especially in the 9th chapter, Krishna has been glorifying the process of devotional service. He has been glorifying his devotees, and he also talks about how he reciprocates with his devotees. He contrasts devotional service to other processes, like, for example, worship of the demigods and so on, and establishes very clearly that devotional service to him is the supreme path, beneficial for everyone. And having established that, in this 10th chapter, the opulence of the absolute, Krishna will continue to discuss further about the opulences of Krishna, so that by hearing such opulences, one's devotion may be increased. Actually, in verses 7, 8 and 9, Krishna has spoken not only about the truth of devotion, the bhakti tattva, but he has also given a good glimpse into the Aishwarya or the opulence of the Lord. So the 7th, 8th and 9th chapters, they contain a description of the glories of devotional service, and also about the Lord's Aishwarya, the Lord's opulences. In the 7th chapter, there was some glimpse of the opulences, and here also in detail we will find further description of that. Opulences in Sanskrit is called Aishwarya, but it also refers to Vibhuti. Vibhuti means the majestic opulences of the Lord. And since Krishna is going to talk a lot about that in this chapter has been titled Vibhuti Yoga and translated by Prabhupada as the opulence of the Absolute. So the 10th chapter is really a continuation of the 9th chapter in terms of discussion of the confidential essence of all knowledge. We have seen before that the 9th chapter concluded with that famous verse. Which one? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So that, as we have heard before, is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of all knowledge. So the 9th chapter concluded with this most confidential essential instruction, and the 10th chapter will continue that. And the way the 10th chapter will do that is to explain Krishna's glories further through his opulences as displayed in this world, so as to stimulate further the devotion in the hearts of his devotees. So devotees feel great pleasure when they hear about the glories of the Lord. And we see this principle even in the material world. If there's somebody who is very dear to you, and you hear about some glory about that person which you didn't know before, or even if you knew it but you hear it again, it makes you feel very nice. So similarly, because the devotees love Krishna, so they feel very happy to hear Krishna's glories. And if they're not yet devotees, the idea is to make them devotees by hearing about Krishna, so they may understand what a lovable object Krishna is and how worthy of our devotion Krishna is. So it's a stimulus for placing one in devotional service and for intensifying our devotional service. But Krishna is not easy to understand. And that is a theme of the first few verses of the 10th chapter, specifically verses 1 to 7, where he explains that Krishna is basically unknowable. You cannot understand the Absolute Truth in fullness. Inasmuch as with a small little spoon you can't scoop out the water from the vast ocean. Nevertheless, we may try. In the second verse of this chapter itself, right here, Krishna has explained, Name vidhu suraganah prabhavam nam harshayah aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashah. He has said that the demigods do not know my origins, the great sages do not know my origins, nobody knows me, but I know everyone and everything. Someone may say that, well, the demigods are sometimes engaged in sense gratification, so they don't know. But the rishis, the sages, are not engaged in sense gratification, even they do not know. That is the nature of Krishna. He is unknowable, but to the extent that he bestows his mercy on us, to that fractional degree we may be able to understand Krishna. Krishna is infinite in all his qualities. And the jiva is infinitesimal, very, very tiny, atomic. So how can the atomic tiny spark understand anything about the infinite Supreme Lord unless the Supreme Lord showers his mercy? One time we were challenged, we had gone to one college and a PhD philosophy scholar was there, and he stood up to challenge, and he said that you are saying that by the process of devotion you can understand the Absolute Truth, but the Absolute Truth is infinite, so it's impossible to understand, so you cannot talk about it. So the reply is very simple. that if he is truly infinite, then he is infinite in his power and in his capability. That means he infinite has the infinite capability of making the infinitesimal jiva understand his infiniteness. Otherwise, how is he infinite? How is he all-powerful? If he cannot bestow his mercy upon the jiva and make the jiva understand him, at least to some degree. So therefore, having given a background of how Krishna is basically unknowable, now he is explaining how he is a source of everything. In these two verses 4 and 5, Krishna has given a list of 20 qualities. These 20 qualities all originate in Krishna. So what we will do is, we will go to the end of the purport and read the last two paragraphs for now. In these 20 qualities, we'll discuss them separately, individually, as we go along. But we get a complete overview of what Krishna is talking about by hearing these last two paragraphs of the purport. So I'll read the purport. Quote, all these qualities, which qualities? The qualities referred to in these two verses, the 20 qualities. All these qualities are manifest throughout the universe in human society and in the society of demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. Unquote. There are many forms of humanity on other planets. Many times devotees ask the question, this 8.4 million species of life, is it only on Earth, or does it also refer to other planets or the whole universe? So what is the answer now? It's the entire universe. The 8.4 million species populate the entire universe. Even human beings are there in the higher species. But of course, their body, mind, and intelligence is far more developed, far more materially evolved, and even in most cases, spiritually evolved. So therefore, human beings are there, and all the living entities are everywhere, and these qualities, therefore, are also all-pervasive wherever there are living entities. We'll continue the purport. Quote, now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in the devotional service of the Lord develops all the qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. Unquote. So basically these qualities originate from Krishna, and he may give it to some of us in different measure, in different degrees, and then we have to work on it to cultivate it. For example, knowledge. Knowledge comes from Krishna, but we have to work hard to acquire knowledge. So we have to put in our effort. And Srila Prabhupada says here, that simply by engaging in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, all these qualities automatically emerge. That is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchina sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahatguna mano rathe nasati dhavato bahi. The meaning of this verse is that for one who has surrendered to the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, automatically all the good qualities that are found in the demigods even and more manifest in the person of that devotee. But for one who is not a devotee, harav abhakta, who is not a devotee of Lord Hari, then how can any good qualities develop in him? Because he is seated on the chariot of his mind and wondering where his mind is taking him for different acts of sense gratification. So he cannot develop good qualities. Sense gratification basically destroys all good qualities, even if somebody has any.
So therefore, if these good qualities, they, some of them are good and some of them not necessarily good, as we'll see, but they all originate from Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada continues in the last para of the purport, quote, of whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. Although we know that things are differently situated, we should realize that everything flows from Krishna. Unquote. So, if we get angry, we should know we are angry because anger is there in Krishna. If we become greedy, then we should know there is greed in Krishna. If we become happy, then we should know that there is happiness in Krishna. But in Krishna, all these qualities exist in their pure, most sublime and perfect spiritual form. Whereas in us, in the conditioned living entities in this world, these qualities exist in a perverted material form. Therefore, they do not always bring us lasting happiness and peace. But everything ultimately is coming from Krishna. Even the fighting spirit, the quarreling spirit. People are always quarreling amongst each other. How is it possible for people to have a quarreling tendency unless it's there in Krishna? It's there, but pervertedly manifested here in this material world. So we'll come back to the verse itself and talk about these 20 qualities. So the first quality is buddhi, intelligence. Second is jnanam, or knowledge. Third is asammohaha, freedom from doubt and delusion. You see, earlier, as I mentioned, Prabhupada, Krishna had said that it is not possible to know him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary that what to speak of an ignorant person not being able to know Krishna, even a person knowledgeable in the scriptures, a person who is very intelligent, even he cannot understand Krishna simply by dint of knowledge of scripture and intelligence. Specifically in relation to the first three qualities mentioned here, buddhi, which means intelligence, jnanam, which means knowledge, and asammohaha, which means freedom from doubt and delusion, all these three, without doubt, are necessary for developing knowledge. And without this, we cannot understand Krishna to whatever degree. But ultimately, Krishna is saying that these three things in and of themselves cannot give knowledge of me, cannot make you understand me, because that is possible only by my mercy. These three things also ultimately come only from the material mode of goodness, from sattva-gun. Intelligence is a product of the mode of goodness. So is knowledge, and so is freedom from doubt. But the mode of goodness is material, it's not spiritual. So how can something material give birth to something that is spiritual? Srila Prabhupada explains in another place, in one lecture, he talks about the Vasudeva state of consciousness. All the Srimad Bhagavatam, now also in the previous chapters, in Kapila's teachings, we've been talking so much about that. He says that the Vasudeva consciousness is when the living entity in his pure consciousness is able to understand Lord Vasudeva, the Super Soul. So the state of consciousness is Vasudeva, and also the Lord is Vasudeva. And Prabhupada says that just as Krishna was born from Vasudeva in Mathura, from Vasudeva came Vasudeva. So similarly, from the Vasudeva state of consciousness, which is spiritual only, we can get Krishna or Vasudeva. You cannot get Krishna from something material. You cannot get something spiritual from something material. Bhakti is spiritual. Intelligence is material. Freedom from doubt is material. Ordinary knowledge is also material. They belong to the mode of goodness. So in and of themselves, they cannot give rise to a full understanding of Krishna. So one may say that, well, if these things are coming from Krishna, then what is the problem? The answer is, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that actually it comes from Krishna's energies, Krishna's material energy. But because Krishna's material energy is simultaneously one and different from him, so it is not wrong to say that it comes from Krishna. Because the Shakti or the energy and the Shaktiman and the energetic are one and the same, simultaneously one and different. So these three qualities, he says, cannot in and of themselves reveal me. So what is required for revealing Krishna? Only his mercy. So these three generally are sattvic qualities, qualities in the mode of goodness. Let's analyze each of these 20 qualities and see to which modes of nature they pertain. So let's have a little quiz as we go along. So the first three I've already answered before asking the question. Intelligence, buddhi, knowledge, that is jnanam, asammohaha, that is freedom from doubt. These three come from the mode of goodness. Then kshama. Kshama means forgiveness. That comes from which mode? You have only three choices, isn't it? So it's quite easy. Three answers to give. Mode of goodness. Forgiveness comes from the mode of goodness. Satyam, truthfulness. Mode of goodness. Damaha, control of the senses. Mode of goodness. Shamaha, control of the mind. Mode of goodness. These are easy. Sukham, mode of goodness. Dukham, mode of ignorance, the tamogun. Misery is in the mode of ignorance, tamogun. Then there is bhavaha, bhavaha actually. Bhavaha, that means birth, and abhavaha means death. So birth and death. What is birth and death? Are they events of happiness? I mean, do you experience happiness when you're born or when you die? What do you experience? Misery? Don't you experience misery? It's called labor pleasure, isn't it, when you're born? What is it called? Labor pain. The pain of birth, the pain of death. So birth and death are misery. So because misery, as we've seen earlier, dukkham, is in the mode of ignorance, so birth and death being miseries and sufferings are also tamasic. They are in the mode of ignorance. Then bhayam and abhayam. Bhayam means fearfulness, fear. So fear is mode of ignorance. Fearlessness. Think. It depends. When fearlessness comes from knowledge, from proper understanding, then it's in the mode of goodness. When it comes from, let us say, the Rajogun, like a warrior is fighting fearlessly on the battlefield, he has no fear of death. So that kind of fearlessness is Rajasic. And then there is a fearlessness of one who is, for example, completely drunk. And he becomes brave only till the effect of the intoxication is there. And then he's like a mouse. But when he's under the influence of intoxication, he's like a tiger. So what kind of fearlessness is that? Mode of ignorance. So fearlessness, it depends what prompts that fearlessness. And accordingly, we can classify these as sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Ahimsa, that is non-violence, yes, mode of goodness. Samatha, equilibrium, mode of goodness. Of course, again, yes, you could say it's the mode of goodness. Tushti, satisfaction, Think again. It depends. The man lying drunk on the roadside is immensely satisfied, isn't he? He is experiencing great satisfaction. He thinks that is satisfaction. He is sitting there, he thinks he has achieved many things in life. He is self-satisfied. But is that the tushti that is being spoken about? So the satisfaction from tamogun is tamasic. But the satisfaction that comes out of knowledge is mode of goodness. It should be unconditional. What about tapaha? Tapaha, the austerities performed by people, again, depends. If the austerities and even the next one, danam, charity, if they are conditional, then they are rajasic. If they are unconditional, then they are in the mode of goodness. Can you give an example of a conditional austerity? Political purpose. Yes, for some political purpose, there is somebody, some political party is a hunger fast. Fast unto death. We will fast so long as our political objective is not attained. So that austerity is conditional austerity. So that cannot be called as genuine. So that is rajasic austerity, not sattvic. But when it is unconditional, done simply for out of a sense of duty, for advancement in one's well-being, for higher values in life, then it is sattvic. Similarly with charity. Krishna has explained all these things in the future chapters to come. Similarly, charity, when it is done with the condition that I should get some name and fame and so on, then it's rajasic. Or if it is done to an improper person at an improper place at an improper time, it is tamasic. But to the right person, for the right purpose, at the right place and time, is sattvic. Then yashaha, that is fame and infamy, also similar arguments. So we can understand that these 20 qualities are ultimately coming from the three modes of material nature. The three modes of material nature are also under the control of Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. The material nature is always working under my direction, O Krishna, and is regulating the movement of all moving and non-moving beings. So therefore, Krishna is ultimately the source of these qualities, but through the medium of the material energy. So because these things are ultimately spiritual here at the material level, they cannot reveal Krishna. But when we dovetail these qualities in Krishna's service, then they become spiritualized. So we'll see gradually when we discuss each one, how these things can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. So, let's take a few of the qualities and we'll start reading the purport to as far as we can get till the time is up. So we'll start from the beginning in the purport. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. Prabhupada's definitions are so sublime, so to the point, concise and perfect, very profound. That is eloquence. Eloquence means to speak the truth as concisely and precisely as possible. So how has Srila Prabhupada defined intelligence? To understand things in their proper perspective. The sense of discrimination, that is very important. The intelligence is what makes us understand what is right, what is wrong, what is good for us, what is not good for us. It is a faculty of discrimination. You know about that famous example of the chariot of the body given in the Upanishads, where the body is compared to a chariot the five horses of the chariot are compared to the five senses, the reins are compared to the mind, the driver, the charioteer, is the intelligence, and the passenger sitting in the chariot behind is the soul, the Atma. When the mind is weak, when the charioteer is not able to control the reins because the charioteer himself is weak, is untrained, he cannot control the reins, and therefore the horses are not controlled, and the five horses run in different directions, hither and thither, and you can understand what the condition of the person in the chariot sitting behind will be. So this is the condition of the ordinary living entity who is under the clutches of Maya. The senses are pulling the living entity in different directions forcefully, and therefore the intelligence gets completely swayed away. Krishna explains earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyanam Hicharatam Yan Manonubhidhiyate Tadasya Harati Pragyam Vayu Navam Ivambasi. He says, imagine that there is a boat on an ocean and there is a very strong cyclone or a wind that blows. It would immediately blow away that boat. Similarly, the boat is compared to the intelligence. Even one of the senses, or when the senses focus on something, the mind focuses on one of the senses, which is focused in turn on an object of gratification. It can completely take away one's intelligence, kidnap one's intelligence. Harati pragyam, hara means to kidnap, to take away. So intelligence is the last thing to get taken away before fall down. When intelligence is lost, then everything is lost. So there is a saying, Vinashakale Viprit Buddhi, which means that at the time of destruction, at the fact that his intelligence is destroyed means that now destruction is very near. And this is exactly what Krishna explains in the second chapter, in those two famous verses. Vyayato Vishayan Punsaha Sangasteshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Krodho Bhijayate Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vibhramaha Smriti Bhramshat Buddhinasho Buddhinashat Pranashati. Dhyayato Vishayan Punsaha. So when one contemplates the objects of the senses, then what happens? Automatically one develops attachment for them. Dhyayato Vishayan. Vishaya means the sense objects. When one meditates on them, when one contemplates them, Dhyayato Vishayan Punsaha Sangasteshu Upajayate. Sangaha means attachment. One becomes attached to that sense object. Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. From that attachment comes lust, which is a desire to enjoy that object. When the desire to enjoy that object is frustrated, then one becomes angry. Kamat Krodho Bhijayate. And in anger, one becomes bewildered. Sammoha. Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha. And when one is bewildered, sammohat smriti vibhramaha, one loses one's memory. Who am I? Who is the person in front of me? We say anything, we do anything, we act in any way we like. We lose control of ourselves. We disregard time, place, circumstance. We don't see where we are. Who are the people around us? Is it the right time to say this or to do this or even to do it at all? Now we cannot. We have lost our memory of who we are. Smriti Brahmshat Buddhi Nasho. So when memory is bewildered in this way, then intelligence is lost. Buddhi Nasha means the destruction of intelligence. Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. Then when intelligence is destroyed, one falls down. Then there is nothing left. So intelligence is very crucial because intelligence keeps us above. It keeps us from falling down. And the intelligence is actually the subtlest element of the material body except for the false ego. Indriyani Paranyahur. the working senses, Krishna says in the third chapter, are superior to matter. But superior than the senses, Indriyani Paranyahur, there is also something else. What is that? It is superior to working matter senses? The mind. The mind is superior to the senses. Manasastu parabuddhi. But superior to the mind is buddhi or the intelligence. Yo buddhi paratastasaha. And superior to the buddhi is the soul. So right next to the soul is the intelligence. So although intelligence is material, but it's very fine. So amongst all the elements, it is supreme. So with good intelligence, which is being nourished by the spiritual energy of the soul, by good spiritual instruction, this intelligence can lift us up to a higher platform and make our life sublime and successful. But if our intelligence is weak, then our discrimination becomes weak. And then we lose determination. A person who cannot be determined in doing something, we understand that person's intelligence is weak. By intelligence, we are not talking of IQ. We don't refer to a genius. If you say somebody is very intelligent, it doesn't mean he has to be like an Einstein, that he could solve mathematics so fast. Here, intelligence refers to a sense of discrimination, which brings about a sense of determination to do something. So when that intelligence and that determination is used for a spiritual purpose, then that is spiritual determination. So the intelligence has to be nourished by hearing and chanting about the Lord, by performing various forms of devotional service in the company of the devotees of the Lord, and then the intelligence becomes very strong. Then when the charioteer is strong, then the intelligence can control the mind. The mind is saying, let me go here, let me go there, and the intelligence says, no. The intelligence puts its foot down. No, you cannot do this. It's not good for devotional service. This will eventually lead to fall down. Stop here. So the intelligence becomes very firm, disciplined. So the intelligence deals with the mind in the way that a teacher deals with a misbehaved student, or the way that a parent would deal with a child. So the intelligence has to play that function. But just imagine, if the teacher or the parent is misbehaved, then what happens to the child? So if the intelligence is not pure, the intelligence is not determined, then what hope is there of the mind being controlled? So for devotees, this is a very practical instruction, that we have to nourish and strengthen our intelligence by hearing and reading and serving, chanting the holy name, hearing the holy name, hearing messages of the Supreme Lord from the scriptures like the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And by doing this, we become strong, determined. And with this determination, we are able to tolerate, to withstand, and to negate the pushings and pullings of the mind. Manorathena sati dhavato bahi. The nature of the mind is to take us here and there. But with a determined intelligence, it can be controlled. With a determined intelligence, when the mind is in control, we can see things as they are in the proper perspective. But when we are hurrying here and there, we don't know what is what. All of us have the experience, we are in a hurry, we are rushing somewhere. And in our hurry to rush, we don't see things properly, knock our head somewhere, slip somewhere, right? Because we're not able to see things properly, we're so much in a hurry, our mind is preoccupied. So, where the intelligence is divided in acts of sense gratification, there can be no focused attention on any one thing. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahu Shakhahi Anantasha Buddhayo Abhyavasayinam. He says that for one who is in Krishna consciousness, his intelligence is resolute, determined. But for one whose intelligence is splayed, it is dispersed into many activities of sense gratification, Bahu Shakha, then he can never develop that resolute determination to go ahead. So this is the importance of intelligence. Similarly, knowledge. Ordinary knowledge, we'll read here. I will continue the purport. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Unquote. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita has also defined knowledge very nicely in many places. Do any of you know a famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna defines what is knowledge? 13th chapter, very correct. Which verse? What is the verse? What is the one verse where Krishna defines what Prabhupada is saying here in this purport? Knowledge means knowing the distinction between matter and spirit. Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi. Then, sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetragyayo jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. So in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, the kshetra or the field is the body. Kshetragyam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So I am the knower of all bodies, of all the fields. Kshetragyam. Gyam means one who knows. So I know all these kshetras because I am situated in everyone's heart as a super soul. I am situated in every atom. So there is nothing that I don't know because I am everywhere. I see everything, I know everything, I hear everything, I smell everything. My senses, my transcendental senses, they perceive everything because I am everywhere. So therefore, sarva kshetreshu. So Krishna is a supreme knower of all fields of activity, of all bodies, of all forms of material nature. Kshetra, kshetrajnayor, then the body, and there is the individual knower of the body, who is the soul. Yat tat jnanam matam mama. So my opinion, Arjuna, is that one should also know the body and the knower of the body, that's the soul. So Krishna has defined knowledge as the following three things. Knowledge of the body, in other words, of material nature. Number two, knowledge of spirit, in other words, of the spirit soul. And thirdly, knowledge of the super soul or the Supreme Lord. So this is knowledge. Anything that doesn't touch upon these three things is not knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada says that modern education touches what? Only the first thing, the body and material nature. But it has no conception of the soul or spirit, and there is no talk about God certainly, because now everything is secular. So therefore, Prabhupada says, mundane academic education in the universities and schools is incomplete because they deprive the students of an understanding of spirit, whether the individual spirit soul or the supreme spirit soul. So we'll continue from here tomorrow evening. Are there any questions? Yes. Mind, intelligence, soul. Falsehood, false ego. Yes. You see, false ego, the question is that what is the position of false ego in the hierarchy? We quoted a verse, Indriyani Paranyahur, in which Krishna says that superior to the body or matter are the senses, superior to the senses is the mind, superior to the mind is the intelligence, and superior to intelligence is the soul. So where does the false ego fit in? in the three subtle elements of the material body, the mind, intelligence and false ego. False ego is the subtlest. It is the dividing line between spirit and matter. It is that by which the soul, which is spiritual, identifies itself with matter. So intelligence is material, the soul is spiritual, and that by which the soul imagines itself to be material is false ego. So the false ego is a connecting point, connecting the spiritual to the material. That false conception that I am material is a false ego. Any other question? Yes. Is subtler than intelligence? Yes. The question is, can we say that through the medium of the false ego, the body is being controlled? Yes, in the conditioned state. Because the intelligence is spoiled. But when the intelligence becomes purified, one realizes one's true ego, that I am the spirit soul. Yes, Mataji, somebody is. Yes. Yes. You see, all these negativities are nothing but the question is that envy is something that we know we can't use in Krishna's service. Everything has its origin in Krishna. But envy, we have heard, cannot be used in Krishna's service. So what is its position? Actually, all these six enemies, the Shraddha Ripu, Ripu means enemy, the six enemies, lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, and illusion. They are all, shall we say, they arise because of a forgetfulness of Krishna. They are perverted reflections of something originally existing in the spiritual world. Just as the basic nature of the universe with the sun present is that there is light everywhere. Once the sun is there, the natural condition is there is light. However, if you stand with your back to the sun, then you have shadow in front of you, you have darkness. So darkness is there by our own creation, because we have turned our backs to the sun. But if you are facing the sun, then you see light, you don't see any darkness. So when we say that even envy comes from Krishna, we should understand that it comes from Krishna in the sense that it appears because we turn our back to Krishna. Each of these six enemies of the soul which obstruct us from spiritual advancement have their positive equivalent in the spiritual world. Let's have a small quiz again in a minute or two. And by the positive equivalent, you can counteract this negative phenomenon from this world. Let's take lust. Lust is the perverted reflection of what? Of love. So if there is lust, how can you counteract it in the material world? By developing, try to develop love of Krishna. So counteract it by the original quality and you will overcome the lower base reflection, greed. How do you counteract greed? Greed. How do you counteract greed? by learning satisfaction, by learning to be satisfied with what Providence has provided. So in the spiritual world, everyone is satisfied. And these are some of the qualities that will come here, we'll discuss. So, by cultivating the quality of being satisfied with the way the Lord has kept us and is providing for us, we overcome greed. Anger. How do you counteract anger? Not just by counting sheep, by counting stars, yes? By kindness and compassion. When you're angry, you're not kind to people. Yes? When you're angry, you're certainly not kind. You say many harsh things to many people. So anger is counteracted by compassion and kindness. Of course, anger also exists in the spiritual world, but it is used in a positive, wholesome sense. So lust, anger, greed, pride. How do you counteract pride? By cultivation of humility. There is no false ego or false pride in the spiritual world. Illusion. How do you counteract illusion? By cultivating knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And envy. Finally, how do you counteract envy, which is the most fundamental problem? Now, how do you counteract it? By appreciation, by glorification of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. It may be a painful exercise, but try to glorify someone whom you're envious of. Yes, service, of course, it's included in all this. Underlying it is devotional service. Everything is in connection with Krishna. So, by serving that person, by glorifying that person, appreciating that person's qualities and services and so on, one can actually counteract envy. So these are negative qualities which arise because we have turned our back to the positive qualities. Okay, thank you very much. So we will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Hare Krishna.